Education in Arts and Sciences. Commentary for the December 5th, 2020 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. I can remember that many years ago, as a teenager working in a church camp near Seattle, I could look up and see the Milky Way spread across the night sky and feel something stir within me at the presence of such beauty and majesty. It drew praise from my heart for a God who could adorn the darkness of space with such a wonder. And the Milky Way is only one of many galaxies. As wondrous as it is, some 2 trillion more are to be found in the part of the universe we can observe. When I consider the vastness of that, and what that says about my ability to understand one capable of bringing all of that into being, I cannot wrap my mind around it. I can only stand in awed silence at the spectacle. Praises come to my lips, but they seem inadequate for what I am seeing. Some point to the stars as humanity's future, that we have a place up there. If so, I wonder if what I feel looking upon this is like what explorers once felt when landing on virgin shores with abundant verdure and teeming wildlife. I can appreciate that feeling, but I can find cause for concern in that as well. We do not have a good record of caring for those new lands or the indigenous people we have found there. Greed has caused us to ravage, kill, and destroy whatever we can if there is even a hint of profit to be made in doing so. We have even enslaved our own species to that end, and some modern political factions still hold strong desires to continue that trend. If God dwells somewhere beyond those corridors of time and space, I can only hope he can somehow prevent the desolation we have wrought on earth from spilling over into that vastness. Several Old Testament prophets have tried to call humanity to account for such exploitation, perhaps Habakkuk most of all. Like him, we can see the devastation, pollution, and exploitation of the earth's resources has caused. And it seems nothing is happening to prevent such destruction. Yet despite his apparent inaction, God assured Habakkuk that he was indeed dealing with the problem. However, as the prophet soon learned, the cure could be even worse than the disease. It could certainly seem that way to us also. If the only way to achieve balance would be through population collapse due to depleted resources, warfare for what remains, and widespread pandemics. We see such things in nature when too many deer, for example, forage on the land and there's no longer enough forage to sustain the herd, leading to die-offs until the population and the resources come back into balance. Could such fail-safes be an integral, intentional part of creation? Some might feel that a God who would make such a thing would be cruel. But we have a very human tendency to play the victim, even when our own choices could have saved us from harm, had we been willing to turn loose of the desire for financial gain that keeps calling us to ignore everything else. For most, obtaining those profits will remain a fantasy their entire lives, but some still strive for them to their dying breath. And for many of these, it is because they are unable to see God for the luster of the gold that draws them. They do not, cannot acknowledge that something beyond what they can see, touch, and measure exists. Money is real. They can touch it, hold it, do things with it. But God, they cannot see, hold, or even understand. Some have tried to rectify this. They try to package God as a marketable object. They define him in such a way that he becomes visible, can be held, and understood. For instance, some may feel that if you can hold and read the Bible, then God himself is being held. But a God that can be contained in the Bible is far too small. Some try to make God visible by building magnificent structures for worship. But a God who can be contained in such a building is, again, too small. Some feel that God can be defined and understood by placing limits on our understanding. For instance, they say that God had to create the world only 6 millennia ago, and that he would never accept anyone into his fold who dared to believe otherwise. But such a God is contained within the limited mental capacity of mankind, and is not the ineffable God of creation. Even though Göbekli Tepe and Jericho both go back much farther than 6,000 years ago, rather than admit that their God is too small to be the God of creation, some deny the archaeology that challenges that God in a box. They would deny the very evidence that God provided to preserve their constructed image of a much smaller God. When I behold the Milky Way, I see a God who beckons to my understanding as well as my heart. I read my Bible and I get a glimmer of the character of God. But I behold nature that speaks of God, and it says to me, "You have no idea." When I ask myself why that might be, I am awakened to the fact that I simply do not have the tools to see beyond. We can construct aids that allow us to see beyond what we can see with only the naked eye. But even with those aids, we discover that what is visible is only barely scratching the surface of what is. How then can we limit the God who created it all to the finite understanding of mankind? We cannot see the infinity of space, yet we claim to see and know the God capable of creating infinity. We have yet to understand our planet well enough to properly care for it. We are even surprised to discover life on Earth existing in extreme environments we thought incapable of life. Yet we claim to understand God. We measure our lifespans in mere decades, yet we claim to know the age of all of creation. The scientist who claims that things are thus and so, based on theories extrapolated from empirical evidence, is using their world, their perspective, to define their world. But they can fall woefully short of reality in doing so, for their evidence is limited by what their imagination says is possible. And once that imagination settles on a particular perspective, it can be very hard to alter, even when faced with contrary evidence. Science too often only advances with a lot of kicking and screaming along the way, as a particular worldview congeals into a petrified mass and the ability to continue to stir the theoretical soup becomes stifled. But science is not alone in bowing before such immovable idols of their own construction. Religion, too, has its shibboleths. Rather than allow God his limitless existence, religion claims he cannot or will not work outside of parameters that only religion can determine. This presumes a God is like a puppy on a leash that religion holds, and God only performs tricks for them and not for the uninitiated. Despite the global inclusive nature of Christ's teachings, modern religion continues to be denominationally tribal, flinging accusations back and forth that those outside their tribe do not have the truth. They each want to educate the world in the truth while maintaining such tribalism. Perhaps the most effective service they perform for society is when they point out the errors in one another's truths. Then it becomes apparent that no one really owns the truth, for they have not perfected it themselves, outrageous claims notwithstanding. Maybe, as the television program The X-Files proclaimed, the truth is still out there. And it is still out there because, like space, it exceeds the capability of the tools we possess to envelop it. The problem with truth is that even though it can be as ineffable as God, we can, like with the Bible, get pieces and glimpses of it. Unfortunately, when we think we understand that piece, we set up a standard in the marketplace for judging the world. What conforms to the piece of truth we feel we have is accepted. What does not is rejected as a lie. We see an example of this with the age of the earth. We may feel, based on creating an age of the earth construct from a few proof texts, that we have the only truth. Then anyone who challenges that truth is judged to be lying. Copernicus is an example of someone who challenged religion and its belief that the earth was the center of the universe. Despite the correctness of his perspectives, It wasn't until Kepler got the orbits of the planets right and Galileo made his telescopic observations that the tribal assumptions of religion began to falter and allow heliocentrism to become the correct standard of truth. Those proof texts being used to support the earlier model were misinterpreted. Their God in a box was too small to withstand reality. Sadly, there is always a new God in a box to replace the old. We are simply uncomfortable allowing God to operate outside the parameters we created. Religionists and scientists alike are too focused on the sacred cows they have crafted. We need to stop worshiping graven images and allow God to reveal himself any way he chooses, even if that way flies in the face of the popular understanding of truth. Far too often, both science and religion have, in the past, been labeled blasphemy when they departed from popular belief. Even Christ succumbed to such narrow-mindedness. But God is in control, as Habakkuk learned, and he does not need zealous religious or scientific tribalists to enforce things for him. Burning at the stake no longer has the appeal it once had. Maybe it is time we also set aside the rhetoric that went with it. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find more commentaries at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.